So here we go. The recording has started. The line is unmuted. That means nothing special you need to do to speak up. Just speak up, right? It's a small enough group that if you're noisy, I'll deal with that, and let's be more dynamic. So this is week number 11. That means there's just two calls left, this one and next time, and we're here. You've arrived. So we are in the middle of the objection handling piece. And, oh, I'm sorry for the recording. This is The Truth About Sales. I'm your instructor, Joel Rico, and it's whatever it is, May 31st. So we're in the middle of the objection handling portion. And what we took on last week was the most basic objection handling structure. I call it Objection Handling 101. And that structure is, repeat and approve, right? Start with some sort of agreement, repeat and approve, and then answer their question, field their call, whatever that is. Then once we get some agreement, give them a new perspective, answer their question, whatever, get some agreement, then ask them to move forward, right? Three steps, really simple. No matter what they have to say, no matter what crazy position they have, I would like my response to be something like, oh, hey, that's a great point. I really appreciate that. And have you considered looking at it from this direction? And they go, oh, wow, that's a really good idea. And you go, great, that's exactly why you should sign the contract. Let's move forward, right? That's 101. We did that last week. And then last week we also did one called What Specifically Causes You to Believe? That's a really powerful one to hopefully get through their confusion when your client has some sort of crazy position. Has that ever happened to you? A client with a crazy position? Yeah, all the time. So when your client has a crazy position, instead of attacking that position, I find it much more empowering just to say, oh, that's interesting. Wow, I'm curious. What specifically causes you to believe that? And instead of attacking it, put them on the spot and see if they have enough support to defend that position. And, right, let them self-solve. Oh, wow, I guess my position doesn't make sense. Right, I'd much rather have the client self-solve their problem than to say, well, that's wrong and I'm right, let me tell you why. Right, even if you are right, that's kind of solution doesn't really work very well. So, where are we? So any questions, any comments, any ahas, any breakthroughs, any place that you're stuck, anything from where we are so far, anything that you've gotten out of the last class or two, anything. And one more reminder, we are 100% unmuted for now. So you don't have to push any buttons, just speak up. So questions, comments, anything. Anybody?
I have a funny story, Joel.
All right, super quick.
There was an agent that wanted me to help him with a buyer, so he did a three-way call, and he listened to me talk to her, and I was using these techniques that we've been working on, especially the one from last week. And last night he called me and asked me if I would do nothing but outbound calls for him.
Nice.
But what was really funny was his interpretation of what I was doing.
Because you should have said, so I would have used the format that we used last week and said, yes, I'm really awesome at making outbound calls, and I'm unbelievably expensive. So let's talk about your needs and your goals, and maybe we can create a solution. Never know.
Yeah,
never know
who's
throwing offers your way. Sweet. Anybody? Thanks, Doug. Anybody else? Ahas, wins, breakthroughs, questions, I'm stuck, anything. No questions, no comments, no nothing from last week.
Hey, Joel, it's Milton.
Hey, Milton.
Yeah, how you doing? That first technique from last week, after we redirect their thought, where do we go from there?
So step one is create some agreement.
Yeah.
Step two is maybe redirect their thought, as you say, or show them a new perspective, or answer their question, whatever that looks like. then the goal is in step two to get to have some agreement in step two as well. So in step two, redirect your thought, my goal is to have them go, oh, wow, I didn't see it that way. Or, oh, wow. Oh, that makes sense. Oh, yeah, I get it. Like, my goal there is to find some kind of agreement. Then, when they go, oh, I get it, then I want to say, great, let's do the right thing and sign the contract. Great, let's do the right thing and submit an offer. Great, let's do the right thing and get your house on the market. Something like that. Helpful?
Okay, that makes sense.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. Anybody else? Questions, comments, ahas? I'm stuck. Anything? All right, let's jump into some new stuff. And I am going to go ahead and hit the mute button because I'm hearing wind noise and somebody chewing gum and whatever that is. So I'm going to mute. Here we go. Please do not let this slow you from asking questions, right? I'm committed to the integrity of the line for everybody. The mute is in no means at all intended to restrict your interaction. Right? Quite the opposite. The mute is intended to make this a forum in which you can hear and listen, and everything's amazing. And please speak up. Right, star 6 on your phone will pull you into the queue. Please ask questions, role play, whatever, as much as you want. All right. So today we're doing objection handling part 2. It's my intention that after last week and this week. And, you know, we've done agreement frames and tie-down questions and double binds and all that stuff. But after this week, your tool chest should be near complete, that you should be able to handle any objection on any topic delivered from any person, no matter what space they're in. Like a screaming mad expired, right? That's just a rapport game opportunity. Who's talking about, some crazy objection, it doesn't matter what the objection is. It doesn't matter. What matters is you have all the tools to handle it, right? Kind of like if you're a carpenter and you have a hammer and a level and a saw and a whatever, you can build a house of any shape. It doesn't make any difference what shape, what the blueprints look like. You can build one. Same thing here. I want you to have enough tools that you can handle anything, no matter what shows up. And then lastly, a quick plug. Next week there's no handout for next week. Next week is live tools, role plays, examples. Next week is kind of the glue that brings it all together. So, not to be missed. I've had lots and lots of people sign up for this course multiple times just to be on call, the final call. Right, just to be on the last one. All right. So what else? We have one more rapport theme. So this right here, right now, today, is our very last rapport theme. Consider that it doesn't make any difference how great you are at learning and memorizing these tools. I have delivered to you, I feel, the best, most effective tools in communication, sales, hypnosis, influence, active listening, rapport building. I feel that I've delivered the very finest tools money can buy in helping you break through communication boundaries. And it doesn't make any difference how good you are if you're delivering verbal pacing and leading structures just off the cuff if you're not in rapport first. Rapport is the thing that makes all these tools work. Without rapport, nothing works. In rapport, everything works. It doesn't matter if you botch these and you do the verbal pacing and leading structures out of order. It doesn't matter. Totally okay. You mess them all up and you're doing, you know, whatever. You do them backwards. You do, conditional binds backwards. They'll still work when you do an awesome job of getting in rapport, right? It's the most important thing. It's the foundation of everything here. And here is the coup de grace. So the top the top of the top. Keep doing everything else that you've been doing, meaning keep mirroring and matching their speed and how much they pause and maybe their accent and their body language, and keep mirroring and matching all of these different things, how much or how little they use profanity, whatever, right? Keep doing all of that. And here's the final rapport game. The final rapport game, the highest level piece to get in rapport with others, is for you to cognitively choose, for you to decide, choose to be interested in other people. Now let that sink in for a moment. Choose to be interested in other people. So what is interesting and what is boring? Well, consider when you were in high school, there were some subjects that you thought were interesting. There were some subjects that you thought were boring. Now, all of us would have a different favorite subject, and all of us would have a different least favorite subject. So, for example, is mathematics, is that interesting or boring? Neither. It's mathematics. How about U.S. history? Interesting or boring? How about social studies? Interesting or boring? How about English? What else do we do in high school? Right? How about science? Right? Whatever that was. Interesting or boring? Creative writing. Interesting or boring? Neither. We choose to be interested in some things. Some of us choose to be interested in other things. Apparently on the internet, people think that cats are pretty interesting. So are cats interesting? I don't know. Some people think so. Some people don't think so. So what's interesting or boring is not inherent in that thing. It's up to you to decide what's interesting or boring. So what happens when you decide that this particular subject is interesting? Do you do better in that subject? Sure. Sure you do. Now, what happens when you decide that that thing is boring, not interesting? Right? We disengage. We miss the details. Here's the big question. What happens to you when somebody else believes that you are super interesting? Right? What happens to you? So think back right now. Think back to a time in your life when somebody else thought you were fascinating. You did what? And how did you do that? And what did that look like? And then what about this? Wow, that's amazing. Think back to a time when somebody thought you were really interesting and really fascinating. What happened to you in that exchange? So would anybody be willing to share that? *6 on your phone and come in here and share that with us, with me. What happened when somebody thought you were really, really interesting? What happened with that? What happened to you? Anybody have one of those they want to share?
I can share one.
Oh, please. That sounds like Alexis.
Yep.
Okay. Fire away.
I sometimes will get that feedback from people because I have a lot of obscure or unconventional interests.
Yep.
And when I hear that, I'm sure you can relate to this too, when I hear that, it makes me feel seen and heard.
Awesome.
So, I'm not sure what else to say about that, but I feel like someone is paying attention.
Great. And when somebody is interested, and because of your unorthodox interests, and they're interested and asking questions, they're fascinated, you feel seen and you feel heard. Then how does that change you, Alexis, feeling seen and feeling heard? Does that have you share more, or does that have you clam up?
It has me share more, and I feel like there's a greater sense of trust with the person.
All right, so everybody else, listen to what she just said. When somebody feels interested in me, I feel heard, I feel seen, I feel a sense of trust, and I share more.
Mm-hmm. And I also, in turn, generally will become a little bit more interested in them too.
Even better. And I also return the favor. I reciprocate that. So is there any possible better scenario for a sales appointment? You're sitting down with a client, a prospect. Is there anything better than that? You want your client to feel seen. I want my client to feel heard. I want them to open up and share. I want them to feel the trust. I want them to reciprocate. Is there anything possible better than that? I haven't found it yet. This is exactly the environment I'd like to create in the sales arena. I would like my client to feel exactly how Alexis just described how she feels, right? How do we do that? Well, we do that by choosing to be interested in the other person and what they want and where they're up to and what does that look like and isn't this great and how can I help and that'd be awesome. I'd love to help your family get to the beach. I'd love to help you move out of the house of your dreams. I'd love to help you solve that problem. Right? The more that we are interested in them, the more it takes the focus off of us. Now, what is your competition doing? Your competition is saying, well, I'm the best in the whole world. You should listen to me because I'm amazing. Let me show you all those other things that I've done. Me, 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 me. Right? Reminds me of my favorite joke about real estate agents. This real estate agent goes on a blind date, and they're talking and talking and chatting. And after a little while, the real estate agent says, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. I've been talking about myself this whole time. I'm so sorry. What are all the things that you like about me? So, right, being interested in somebody else demonstrates that we're on their side, right? It demonstrates that the transaction is about them. So thank you, Alexis. Thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
All right, so that's the rapport theme for this week. Choose to be interested in other people and see what happens. And magic will unfold. I promise you, magic will unfold. Any questions, any comments, anything about that before we shift gears? All right, cool. So we have two techniques to take on for today. They're both kind of big, but they're both really easy. They're just patterns. The first one is called the reciprocity pattern. I've also called it the response pattern with reciprocity. I also see in the handout there's a spelling mistake, so don't hold that against me. And this has also been called the military pattern in the past. So Alexis just said, you know, I reciprocate. When they're interested in me, it causes me to be interested in them. It causes me to reciprocate. Now, that phenomenon of reciprocity is inherent in the way we operate as human beings. This pattern leverages that inherent space of wanting to return the favor, right? So reciprocity is somebody invites you over to dinner. What do you do? Thanks. Yeah. Can I bring a bottle of wine? Right? We inherently want to return the favor. Somebody does something nice for you. You want to leave a tip. I want to return the favor. I want to do something nice for them. Right? This is inherent in civilized human beings. So we're going to leverage this pattern, this philosophy of reciprocity a little bit with this pattern. So very similar to what we've been doing in the past, this pattern follows those same steps. We're going to begin by getting an alignment, getting an agreement, repeat and approve. Right? Always, always, if possible, I want to start with yes, if possible. Then, after we get into that's a great question. Thanks for bringing it up. Right, we're going to align. That's called alignment. We're going to align with their position or we agree with their position, whatever. Then, once we've created that agreement, then we're going to make some kind of a suggestion. Well, here's my idea. What if we tried it this way? Now, while they're, that's an interesting suggestion. After we deliver the suggestion, then we're going to justify that suggestion. That might sound like, well, because here's why I think that's a good idea. Then, as the client is weighing the justification for that suggestion, we're going to offer some reciprocity, leverage reciprocity. In this case, that might sound like, and if you're willing to do this, then I'd be willing to give you one of these. I'd be willing to offer you this concession. I'd be willing to whatever. We'll get to those in just a moment. Then ask them to move forward. Great. Should we do that right now? Would you like to make an offer now? Should we sign the contract right now? All right, that's it. So here's the structure. I know it feels long, yet it's a really easy structure. And if you've ever seen me do a live workshop, a live presentation, I almost always do this one because it's just quick. I can just fumble through it at will. You'll see here in just a second. So again, align or agree, whatever. Align with their position, make a suggestion, justify the suggestion, set up reciprocity, and close. Align, suggest, justify, reciprocity, close. So here's how that sounds to me, and here's the way I remember it. No matter what the client says, following this pattern might sound like, yeah, that's a great question, thanks for bringing it up. And what would happen if we tried it this way? Because if we do it this way, you're going to get these benefits like this and like this and like that. It's going to be good for you like this. And if you'd be willing to do it this way, then I'd be willing to do this special thing for you. So should we do it this way and make it easy, or do you want to gamble your money? Right, something like that. Right, that was totally generic. All right, so here it is, your example in the handout. Not generic, specific. So as an objection, hey, the other agent said they could get $650 for the house, but you're telling me $599. I want the $650. I mean, of course I do. I want the extra money. Right, step one, agree, align, take their side. Start with harmony. I might say, yes, I totally understand that you want to get as much money as possible for the house. This is what I want for you as well, as much money as possible. Right, take their side. Step two, make a suggestion. Here, in this example, again, not a script, just an example. Step two is, and what would happen if you knew the other agent was inflating their price opinion in order to get your listing? Oh, now we're going to justify that suggestion. Because you and I just studied all the sales, and we found the highest one, the highest, sold at $300 a foot. And at at 2,000 feet, this means your house is the top of the market is $600, which is why I recommended $599. Now, step four, set up the reciprocity. If you'd be willing to list with me at the price that the market supports, I'd be willing to get the virtual tour complete and delivered to thousands of brokers before the weekend. Oh, that sounds pretty good. Now, as the client's thinking, wow, that sounds pretty good. Now, ask them to take a step forward. And here, I chose a double bind, which is my favorite. Here, I say, so do you want to hire a broker that will tell the truth, or one that will tell you what you want to hear in order to trick you into a contract? No, I want the truth. Great, sign here. So the goal of this, hopefully, is that you see the logical flow of this. Right? This is following the way that the mind processes. Now, again, what is your competition doing? Well, the other agent said I could get $650 for the house, and you said $599. Well, but $599 is the right price. Trust me, look at this, look at that, look at these comps. $599, look at all the numbers say $599. Look, $300 a foot at 2,000 feet, it's $599. The other agent's full of crap, they're lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. You feel the difference in those? It's the same position. The only difference really is the delivery. So let's practice this again. How about one of you invent for me, if you would, any objection, and we'll just use this reciprocity pattern. Align, suggest, justify, reciprocity, and close. What's an objection that you struggle with? Somebody, if you would, unmute and come tell me whatever the objection is that you struggle with. Anything. It doesn't have to be real estate. Doesn't have to be sales. Anything. by the way, I recommend that you practice these everywhere, not just listing appointments. Obviously, I favor listing appointments here, but whatever, do them anywhere.
Well, Douglas. Joel, the Redfin agent said they could do it for 4.5.
A Redfin agent said they would what? Take your listing at 4.5% commission?
Yes.
Well, I totally agree that there are some very desperate agents out there that are willing to slash their commission. I'm clear that those exist. And Douglas, now that was a line. Step two, suggest. Doug, I'm curious, what would happen if you knew that all the statistics support the lower the commission, the lower the sales price? That was a single bind. Because now I'm justifying, right? That was step two. Step three is justify. Because the commission is really the only tool I have as a broker. And part of the commission I'm going to use to market the home, expose the home, build flyers, virtual tours, whatever, hold open houses. And part of the commission I'm going to use as bait to attract all the other brokers to come show it. So the less bait I have, the fewer fish we catch. So, right, that was justified. Now reciprocity. So Douglas, if you'd be willing to list with me at, you know, the standard industry commission, I'd be willing to use that commission, to use that bait, to draw in a bigger and bigger crowd. I mean, you already know that the more people that come to see the house, the higher up we're able to drive the price. So now step five, close. So I guess the real question is, are you willing to give up a bunch of your equity to save a point in commission? Or would you rather you get to keep all of your equity by driving up the sales price? Which of those do you think is better for you, Douglas? Uh-oh, did we lose Douglas?
I think I see your point. Okay, I'm willing to give it a shot. I was just analyzing the steps you were taking there, Joel, because it kind of rendered me without anything to say.
Yeah.
It was so clear. I mean,
that's a good point. What can the client say about this? This is almost an indefensible position or an unattackable position. Right? What can the client say? Right? I'm not disagreeing with them. And what's your competition doing? Oh, my God, 4.5%. That's crazy. What's wrong with these people? Do you see how silly this is? Right? They're taking an adversarial position. I'm taking an advocate position, right, by aligning with them, taking their side. That disarms them, right? Now they're not defending themselves. I make a suggestion, justify that suggestion, give them good reasons on why that suggestion makes sense, tell them how it's in their best interest. Awesome. Thank you for the role play, Douglas. Anybody else? Right, I'm just... So what I want you to get from this is, after you practice this a little bit, that you'll be able to agree, suggest, justify, reciprocity, close. Just at will, anything. Doesn't make any difference what the objection is. You should be able to just churn it through this. And like we talked about last week, when you get to the end, if they say, yeah, but I still like the 4.5%, what do? You start at the top again. You go, yeah, I totally get that you like the 4.5%, and... Right, do it again. Right, cycle back through until you get a yes. Right, or try one of the other techniques. What specifically causes you to believe that shorting the commission is going to allow all the buyer's agents are still going to show it? Right, use one of these other techniques. So keep cycling back through. You get to the bottom, you either get a close or another objection. You get a close, ta-da, you're done. You get another objection, cycle back up to the top of a different technique.
Hey, Joe, okay. Are you there?
Yes, that sounds like Jimmy.
This is Jimmy.
So, hey, Jimmy.
What I want to find out is, you mentioned in the just the stream that we just did right now, you mentioned about using the standard commission without really mentioning the numbers. Would that make a difference?
Well, it doesn't matter. There are times, depending on the market, where I've listed a lot of houses at 7%, sometimes higher than 7%. So in this case, I'm implying that 6% is the standard, right? Because we're at the point in the contract where we're looking at the contract and the guy says, well, this sounds all good, but 6%, wow, the Redfin agent said they do it for 4.5. So I was just assuming that I was starting at 6. And so I was using industry standard commission just to kind of normalize it. So I'm not asking for anything special. I'm not asking for a bonus. I'm just saying, you know, industry standard commission. I'm trying to minimize the shock because he's now talking about 4.5%. And instead of having the customer consider 4.5 to 6, I want to set the standard. It's just an industry standard. It's nothing special. It's the industry standard.
So if they come back and...
Did that clear that up at all?
Yeah, it did clear that up, but the question right now is, what if they come back and ask you, was the industry standard commission?
I would say, oh, sure, the industry standard commission is 6%.
Okay.
Yeah, the industry standard is 6%. In fact, in this market, because the market's pretty hot, and I want yours to sell first, what also is very common is 6% plus a bonus. Right, depending on the price point, maybe we should do, you know, a $2,500 bonus to the buyer's agent. Right, what do you think would happen if we had a regular commission plus a bonus to the buyer's agent? Do you think we'd get more buyer's agents to show it? Sure, right? And the more people that see it, the higher up the price goes. That this is our only goal.
Thank you.
Does that help, Jimmy? Yeah.
Yes. I'll clarify that.
Awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else? This is the place where we should be practicing. We should be role-playing. What objections do you have that are getting in your way at all? Anything you want to role-play with me right now? Here's the big question is, what's the objection that you're most afraid of?
I have one.
Okay, good. Please.
So I'm relatively new and not in real estate, but as an agent. So I'm wondering how to handle the objection of, you don't really have a whole lot of experience listing or, dealing with a transaction. So what can I do to engage someone in that dialogue of reassuring them that I am a competent individual, even though I don't have a whole lot of experience.
Perfect. So I have two answers for you. Answer number one, wow, I'm seeing a lot of people hang up and call back. I hope that the phone line is working. So if you're having some sort of weirdness with the phone line, send me a message and let me know what's going on. Because we've had a whole bunch of people drop and come back. So anyways, send me a message if you're having an issue. So Alexis, I have two answers for your question. Number one is, in a perfect world, ask yourself, what is it that has a customer say, what is it that has a potential client even think that you don't have any experience? My guess is that there's something in the way that you're speaking or showing up that feels uncertain, that you maybe feel tentative, and they're picking up on it. And mm-hmm. How long have you been licensed? How many homes have you sold? Those are questions that are a response based on how you've shown up for somebody. Like, I go into a barbershop, and based on the way this guy is acting, I'm like, well, hang on a second. How long have you been cutting hair? Before I get in your chair, how long have you been cutting hair? How many haircuts have you done? right? There's something that has asked, that has had me ask that question.
That it makes sense because it is an insecurity.
It is an insecurity. And so it is an insecurity or a lack of confidence that's causing this objection in the first place. So not to pat myself on the back, I've been in this game for a bit, and yet I can't remember the last time somebody asked me that. And it's not because I've sold so many homes. It's because I'm just confident.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have those qualms. And so I haven't had that question in 20 years. Well, how long have you been licensed? How many homes have you sold? Like, I don't even get that question. Right? So that's the first thing for you to consider.
Okay.
And then the second thing for you to consider is, okay, and what if you do get it? By the way, my strongest advice for all of you is really, really practice these tools with the objections that you're most afraid of. Because when you master these objections, when you master handling your objections with these tools, master them, you will no longer get that objection. Let that sink in, right? Master these handlers for your objections. The objection will go away, right? Because you'll be so confident it won't show up anymore. All right, so that's step one, Alexis. Step two is, what if you get the objection, right? Whatever, you're getting it less and less often, yet you still get it. What do you do? If we follow this process, same thing. It could say, I totally get your hesitancy, and you're right. I'm newer in the business than some others. Right? Notice I didn't say, I'm brand new. I've never done this before. You're right. I'm newer than some others. Right? Take their side. Let them know they're right. Step two is make a suggestion. Right? And what would happen if you listed with me? You would be my highest priority. You would have nearly my undivided attention because I only have a few pieces of business right now. And you'll have me working, you know, hand over fist just for you. Versus if you list with that Joel Rico guy, holy crap, you're going to get his assistant. You're never going to get him on the phone. You know, you're never going to get that guy. Right? So that's make suggestion and justify. Why is a suggestion a good idea? Right? If you work with me, you get me. You get my cell phone. You get me direct. You're my highest priority. I'm going to throw everything I have into making this work. Right? Because this is a big deal for me, getting your listing closed. Somebody else, you're just a number. Me, it's a big deal. So if you'd be willing to work with me, a newer agent, I'd be willing to leverage the power of my office. By the way, my office is this many people. We did that many transactions, and I'm surrounded by bright people who are going to hold my hand and have already committed to helping me. I have this in place and that in place and these in place. And so if you're willing to work with me, I'm willing to make you my highest priority instead of you just being a number.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now move to the close. So what would you rather have in moving this piece of real estate? Would you rather have, you know, a full-time concierge like me giving you the Nordstrom's treatment? Or do you want to be, you know, one of 100 for one of those, you know, clearinghouse guys?
Hmm.
Maybe something like that.
Okay.
Helpful?
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. All right, so that's the process, right? And what I hope that you get from that little role play is, this is just a structure. Align, suggest, justify, reciprocity, close, right? Just a structure. And inside of that structure, look at how much freedom there is. I'm using agreement frames. I use some embedded commands. I use some tied-on questions. I use a couple of single binds. I close with a double bind, right? This is all these pieces starting to come together. All right, let's go to the next technique. And then we'll get through that, and then we'll just role play whatever at the end of the call. So one more. Our next technique of the day is called, I know it's a funny name, it's called, Has There Ever Been a Time When? That's the whole name, and that's the name because I hope we all remember it. So consider this setup. Most people really don't like to be wrong. We hate it. We hate being wrong. And we hate it when people see us being wrong. We really hate it when we're wrong and other people know we're wrong, right? That's our ego getting in the way. So this technique, has there ever been a time when, will help us to tap into the client's previous mistakes and literally cause them to avoid repeating that mistake. So there's one key to this technique that makes it work, and that key is we're going to, based on their position, we're going to have to invent a super generic something similar. It has to be so generic that everybody must say, yep, that's true, yep, that happened to me, yep, for sure. I'll give you an example here. So the technique goes like this. No matter what they say, whatever their objection is, we're going to repeat and approve, align, find agreement, whatever. Yeah, that's a great question. Thanks for bringing it up, whatever. And then step two, we're going to ask the question. I'm curious. I'm wondering, whatever. Has there ever been a time when? And now we're going to describe a similar experience that is completely universal, so universal that they must say, yeah, for sure, that's happened to me. And before they answer, we're going to say, has there ever been a time when this universal, you've had this generic universal experience, has that ever happened to you? Yeah, for sure, that's happened to me. Then we move to justify, which might be, well, this time is just like that time. May I explain? And they go, yeah, go ahead. Now we're going to explain the similarities between the problem they're having and this generic example we just invented. And this is a perfect opportunity for you to use whatever tools and techniques you've learned in this curriculum thus far, right? Smash them all in there. Use, you know, freestyle, whatever you want. So, example. Somebody says, you know, I don't need to hire a broker. I can sell it myself. I mean, I'm a sharp guy. I can do it myself. And you, remember, start with repeat and approve. Yes, totally agree. You can sell it yourself. Some people do. And you might even say you'll save the commission for sure. Right? Take their side. Step two. I'm curious. Has there ever been a time when? Now, generic situation. They must agree. Has there ever been a time when you took on a project and later realized you were in over your head? Has that ever happened to you? Okay. Now, can any of you say no to that? If you can say no, please speak up. So notice how generic that is. Have you ever taken on a project, later realized you were in over your head? Has that ever happened to you? Yes. Notice we ask a question, it causes them to think, yeah, that's happened to me. Well, I'm afraid this time is just like that time. Can I explain? They go, yeah, go ahead. That's it. They're giving you permission to explain why their decision is a poor decision. And it's going to be just like that one time they did that one thing where they took on that project where they were in over their head and they wanted out. Oh, I don't want that anymore. That's it. So explain how this is the same as a project where you're going to get in over your head. Here, just for fun, here this example says, currently, there's 7,000 homes on the market. Less than 900 will sell this month. Another 1,200 will get listed. This means less than 15% of the homes are going to sell. And for the past 12 months, 95%, 98%, whatever, of my homes, my listings have sold. So if you're committed to move and you want the most money possible, let's do the right thing and sign the contract. Oh, wow, I didn't see it that way. Okay, another example. Let's say that you're trying to recruit somebody, you're out and about, and you meet an unbelievable waiter at a restaurant. By the way, waiters tend to make very good real estate agents, right? They're service-minded, they're used to dealing with the details, they're good at dealing with upset public. Waiters and waitresses typically make phenomenal real estate agents, so great place to recruit. So let's say you're out and about, and you see somebody and they're amazing for real estate, and you say, holy moly, you should be in real estate. You know, can I talk to you about joining my team? Because real estate's for you. And I'm just making these up. They say, oh my goodness, I can't get into real estate. I need a regular paycheck. I'm a single parent. I got a car payment. I have a mortgage. I can't be commissioned only. I need a paycheck. Whatever, right? So I'm going to use this technique again. So step one, agree with them, take their side, align with their position. This might be, yes, I totally get how a regular paycheck can feel like security. I get it. Step two, the technique. I'm curious. Has there ever been a time when you thought you were safe, then had your safety net removed by surprise? Has that ever happened to you? Notice how generic that is. Everybody is going to say yes to that. That's the key. And they go, yeah, that's happened to me. Well, sadly, this is really the same thing. May I explain? Yeah, go ahead. And then explain. In this example, not a script, just an example, I might say a W-2 job might feel like it's secure because the paychecks come every 2 weeks. Yet as long as you're working for somebody else, you're subject to their whims and their influence and the market and things that you can't control. No matter how much you contribute to this job, the paychecks are just enough to hopefully cover your bills. What just happened? We just restructured their definition of security. Wow, I never thought about it like that. Right? Then maybe enroll them. Would you like to be your own boss? Would you like to be the one in charge of how much money you make? What if the harder you work, the more money you make? Right? So this is really the key here. The key is so generic. Now, let me give you the potholes to look out for. Let's do this example again. And they say, you know what, I need a regular paycheck. We say, yeah, I know, a regular paycheck can feel like security. I'm curious. Has there ever been a time that you were working on your job and you thought your job was secure, and just when you really needed the money, you got laid off, and then it put you in a bad financial situation and you couldn't make your mortgage? You see how specific that is? No, I've not had that position. Too specific. The solution here, the key here, is super, super, super generic. Generic, universal. Everybody must say yes, right? It's that generic. Okay, I just heard somebody unmute. Is there a question? Question, comment, something? Okay, I'm hearing things. All right, last example, and then we'll just go free form and role play. Last example is expired, right? Somebody says, I appreciate the call. No thanks. We've decided to take it off the market. Great. Align. Agree. Take their side. Wow, I'm so sorry to hear that you're thinking about giving up on your plans. Wow, sorry. I'm sorry about that, right? I'm not making them wrong. I'm saying, oh, wow, I got it. Sorry to hear that you're in that position. Step two, the technique. I'm curious. I'm wondering. I don't understand. Has there ever been a time when you really wanted something and you had to cross some hurdles to get it? Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, that's happened to me. What do we just do? We just binded them. We just bound them to this old experience of something I really want. Takes a little bit of work. Oh, yeah, for sure that's happened to me. Well, I'm afraid this time is just like that time. May I explain? Yeah, go ahead. What do? We just got their permission to tell them how it's the same thing. And again, not a script, just an example. You might say, well, right now only 21% of the homes are selling. Your home was listed with no staging, no professional photographers, photographs, no virtual tour. If you still have hopes of making this move, we can help make this happen. Our average listing sells in less than 5 weeks. If you'd be willing to meet with me, I'll show you exactly what I can do to sell your home. Right? No promises. All I'm saying is if you'd be willing to meet with me, I'd be willing to check it out and review it. All right, so what did we get today? Three of, I think, maybe the most powerful tools in the curriculum. Right? The first one today is the rapport game. what's the rapport game? Choosing to be interested, whatever it is. They're moving, they're upsizing, downsizing, moving to the beach, retiring, whatever it is, be interested, be fascinated. Why? It causes people to trust, to open up, to share more. It causes them to feel heard and seen and validated. This is the relationship I want with my clients. Listen, make the client important. Why? Because it's all about the client. They're the principal. You're the facilitator. It's all about them. It's not about your business and how many you sell. It's about them, one client at a time. All right, so we got the rapport game this week of being interested. We also got the technique of the reciprocity pattern. I totally appreciate your position. That's a line. And what would happen if we tried it this way? Suggest. Because here's why this way is in your best interest. Justify. Now, reciprocity. If you'd be willing to do that, I'd be willing to offer you this deal, this discount, this special thing, this special service, whatever. So should we do this and make you lots of money, or do you want to gamble your house? Close. Okay, and then we also did, has there ever been a time, no matter what their position is, I totally get it, I totally understand that, and I'm curious, has there ever been a time when you had this similar kind of a problem? Has that ever happened to you? Well, sure. Well, sadly, this time is just like that time. May I explain? This is how it's the same thing. You don't want to repeat that problem, do you? No, good, sign here. Right, so that was a quick recap. So here we are. We have 6 or 8 minutes left. Questions, comments, ahas, role plays, anything, anything. I'm going to check real quick just for fun.
This is Jimmy. How are you?
Hey, Jimmy.
So this is just apart from the from what we're just discussing right now. So I have a question for you regarding the playback. Do we have access to playback all this recording that we've done in this class?
Yes. Yes, you should be getting, I think we had a glitch last week, every week, either today or the day after,
okay.
You should get a link, you should get an email that has a link to the recording, and you should have access to all the recordings for this course.
Okay. So
if
even
you don't,
after we've done,
if you don't have access,
can we still have access to that information?
Yeah, they'll be up for a while, yes. And if you have problems, if you can't access the recordings, please call me and I'll put my computer guy on it. He's much smarter than me and he'll fix it for you. My request is that you do not share those with anybody. Those are just you, just this class.
Yes.
My request is that you do not share them. And yes, you still have access.
Okay. Secondly, if we have to come back as a student, do we have a discount or no?
Yeah, there's I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but yes, there's a repeat discount. I want to say it's a couple $100s.
Okay.
It's a couple $100 off. I want to say it's $200, but don't quote me. I'll have to ask my marketing guru for that. But yes, please come back.
That sounds good.
Please come back and do it a bunch of times until you feel like a Jedi.
Okay. Cool. Thanks.
Cool. Thanks, Jimmy. Yeah. Hope to see you in here again. Anybody else? Questions, comments, role plays, objections, anything?
Hey, Joel, it's Milton.
Hey, Milton.
All right, so we're at the listening presentation. You just finished giving me your pitch, and I'm just going to say thank you for your time. And my wife and I, we just want to sleep on it. We need to think about it and pray about it, and we'll call you tomorrow.
Awesome. Yeah, I totally get that. This is a big decision, and we covered a lot of material. I get it.
Yeah.
So, I'm curious, Milton, what specifically, so I'm going to use, like the last 2 weeks, right, because that just feels appropriate. So, Milton, I'm curious, what specifically is it that you need to think about?
We've had a lot of agents come out. You're obviously the last one. And, we just want to kind of compare apples to apples and make the best decision.
Awesome. Which is one of the reasons why I asked you if I could be the last one,
mm-hmm.
so that you would have already evaluated all the other brokers before mm-hmm. I showed up. So can I help walk us through this decision? There's really three things that you need to decide. Number one is, are you going to sell the house?
Yes,
you guys
we
have
are
already
going
decided.
To sell.
Yeah, you've already decided. Yes, you're selling.
Yes.
Number two is, at what price will you be asking for the house? You know, where do you want to start the list price? And mm-hmm. after going through the comparables with me just now, you picked 575. You thought that was the perfect price, right?
Yes, we did. Yeah.
And so the only other thing for you to decide is, which agent are you going to choose to represent you in the sale? Do you think that I've done a decent job of representing you so far?
Well, I mean, yeah, you've done a good job so far explaining everything.
Great. Do you have any concerns that you think I'm not going to be able to sell your home?
Just really that you haven't sold many homes in the neighborhood. It's a higher end price, and you know, we just want to make sure that we have the best agent to actually get us to South Carolina.
Gotcha. And it's true. So right. So follow along, everybody. I got to the end, and he gave me another objection. Right now, it was I'm going to think about it. Now it's, you haven't sold a lot of homes in this area. Notice how it changed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now I'm back up at the top. So, Milton, mm-hmm. that's true. You're right. I've not sold a lot of homes in this neighborhood. Do you think that, what's your honest opinion, Milton? Do you think that whoever buys this home is going to be from this neighborhood? Is it going to be one of your neighbors is going to buy this home? Or most likely it's going to be somebody from outside this neighborhood moving in?
I'm assuming probably someone from outside the neighborhood.
Yeah, somebody from outside the neighborhood. And in this market, for this neighborhood, most likely it's going to be somebody who's moving up into this neighborhood. Most likely that's going to be our buyer. Does that make
probably.
Sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
And so those are the neighborhoods in which I have most of my for sale signs. In the neighborhoods all around you, right, we're at 575. I'm selling a lot of houses that are, you know, 3 and 4 and 450. And this neighborhood and this neighborhood and that all around you. So do you realize I'm getting sign calls every day? And I'm representing buyers and sellers that are in the 400 range all the time. And most of them want to move up into a house that's 5 or 6, just like this. Does it make sense to hire an agent like me that's got most of the candidate buyers for a property like this? Does that feel like a good idea?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Awesome. So I guess my last question for you is, how much time do you need in order to have the house be ready to show? Are you okay to let me show it and start this week, or do you need the weekend to be ready and prepped before we have buyers come through?
I guess the weekend would be great.
The weekend would be great. So I'm going to write here on the contract, I'm going to post-date that to the 5th. Right? I think that's Monday. Is that okay? Is the 5th okay for you?
Yes.
Awesome. Great. Sign here.
Okay. Okay. So you really closed with a double bind in that. You really didn't. It was like a backdoor close,
yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Well, so good catch. I like the double bind. I think it's the easiest close. And notice I didn't say, are you going to sign the contract or are you going to sign the contract with another agent? Notice I didn't
mm-hmm.
give him that choice.
Mm-hmm.
What close did I use? I said, you know, after you got to the place where I got you an agreement, you said, oh, that makes
yeah.
total sense. I totally get it.
Yeah.
The agent that's in the neighborhood that's representing our most likely candidate buyers, you have all the buyers that are most likely my buyers are your clients. Oh, man, bang, ding, 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 I get it. I'm like, great, makes sense. Right, so right there, I just assumed the sale, a little temporal presupposition.
Mm-hmm.
I assume the sale. Great, so how much time do you need to be ready before we start showing it? I mean, I want to get you to North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Can you be ready to show it this week, or do you need the weekend to get ready? I need the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So by you choosing I need the weekend, I got an implied yes on the listing.
Okay.
Helpful. Thank you for the role play. That was fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Cool. Yeah, thanks, Milton. So do you guys get that? My goal, my plan is hopefully that you see how smooth these tools and techniques just all kind of blend together. By the way, that's mostly what we're doing next week. It's just kind of freelance role. I'm going to give you some structure and some tools and kind of walk you through what I just did right there by kind of smashing them all together. That's next week. So we're out of time. We're at the top of the hour. So thank you all for being here. I hope this helped and made a difference for you. Lastly, if this work seems to be helping you and making a difference for you, I'd love it if you would return the favor and, you know, post my website and tell other people about this training. I would much rather be teaching this than marketing for this. So thanks in advance for sharing the word, spreading the word about this to your salespeople and your market centers and your brokers and whatever. That's it. You guys have an awesome week. Thanks for being here. And I'll talk to you all next week, same time, same bat channel. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye. See you next time. Yep.
Thanks, Jim.
Bye, guys.
And speaking in public has actually helped him process the honorable grief.